Good evening, everybody. אתם ניצבים היום כולכם לפני השם אלוקיכם. You are all standing today in front of Kodesh Baruch. When the Torah is telling us all of you are standing, it means all of you, everybody. Then the Torah is going on. Rashechem, Shivtechem, Ziknechem, Shotrechem. All the elders, the head of the tribes, the policemen, everybody, Kol Ish Israel, all the people of Israel. And then goes on, Tapchem, Neshechem, the children, the women, Gercha, the Gerim, Asher Bekirem Machanecha, Michotev Etzecha Ad Shoev Memecha. Those who cut the trees and bring the water. And the first question is, what is all this description? You already told us, everybody is standing there. So everybody means everybody. Why do you have to tell us?
Who? You have to explain to Jews what it is.
Yes.
That's everybody.
But there always is a reason. No, to say everybody, you mean everybody. Okay. Then, what is Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem? And then, when we look a little, why are they standing there? So the Torah is telling us, Le'ovrecha Bevrit Hashem Elokecha. We're going to go through a covenant with God. But at the last parsha, the end of the last parsha, we already were talking about a certain covenant.
Yeah. And
let's look what's written. Ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot, the ending of the parsha. Ushmartem et divrei, and by the way, it's the same perek.
Yeah.
So do they talk about the same covenant, or there is something different here? Because if it's the same covenant, why do you talk about it again? And if it's not, what kind of covenant is it? So first of all, Rashi is telling us a very interesting point. If you remember last week, anybody who listened to the parsha heard a whole list of curses, and let's say after you hear all those curses, you really get depressed. Because it's terrible what's written there. So Rashi explains that what was happening with Am Yisrael. After listening to all those curses, they were really very down, thinking to themselves, whoa, how can we even go through this? If this is what's expecting from us to do, and this is what we're going to get if we don't do exactly what God wants us to do, what's the point? What's going on here? Who can even go through this? So Moshe Rabbeinu comes them down and tells them, yes, you are not exactly the great tzaddikim and you sin, but atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. But you see, with all due respect, with everything you did wrong, you're still standing here. So I want to understand what's going on. From one side, we listen to a whole list of curses. From the other side, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people, oh, don't worry. It's okay, you're standing here. So what do you mean? Is this a game? What are all those curses for? If he tells them, here you're standing in front of God and nothing happened to you. So what is this also? Just frighten us and then tell us it's okay? So who is going to listen to all those curses if they don't mean anything? And this brings us to the covenant. Says our Chaim HaKadosh, is not alone, that the covenant we're talking here is the covenant of Aravut Ishit, that we are involved with each other. Kol Israel Arevim Ze Bazeh. In other words, you are not alone, you are a part of Am Yisrael. And as a part from Am Yisrael, when you are standing in front of God as one unit, and in this unit you have all kinds of people, and it doesn't matter if you're a professor in university, if you're a billionaire, or if you're the one who cleans the street, all of you are standing here in front of God together. In other words, if you stand by yourself, says the Torah, pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh vela'ana, if there is somebody who is telling to himself, I am not a part of this, And he tells to himself, ah, I am not a young chicken anymore, and I went through quite a few Yom Kippurs and Rosh Hashanah, and I was not exactly a tzaddik, and I'm still here. And he's saying to himself, והיה בשומעו את דברי העלה, when he listens to all those curses, והתברך בלבבו, and he says to himself in his heart, לאמור, שלום יהיה לי. I will go with peace. בשרירות ליבי, I will do whatever I want to do, and nothing is going to happen to me. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a guy like this, all the curses that I said are going to occur to him. So now, we understand that there is a difference between what we were reading last week to what is happening this week. And the difference is that if you put yourself as an individual and you sin, you've got no chance. You are doomed with all those curses. But if you put yourself as a part of Am Yisrael, Atem nitzavim hayom, when are you standing in front of God, even though you sin, kulchem, when we are together, then we have the security of God protecting us because we are together. That's what God wants.
Is that
wants.
Why we lost the
temple? Hmm? Yes. Yeah.
Amen. It surprises me. I belong to an exercise class, and most of the people are not religious,
believers.
But they're all planning to get together with their families, Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And they were all talking about it, and I was amazed.
Yeah, because there is something that Abdesa writes about it. There is a point of truth in each one of us. And you can see it when you come Rosh Hashanah to Shul, and especially when you come on Yom Kippur, come to call Nidre on Yom Kippur. Let's say, I don't know, but I would think 80% at least of Am Yisrael are there. And in Ne'ilah, the same thing. So in other words, something is happening.
There's a spark.
There is this spark inside each one of us. And this spark at this special period is shining. He tells the guy, go to shul, do something. And then he comes, and he's a part of the congregation. And this is the power of Am Yisrael. And this is what the Torah is telling us. Do you want to go through Rosh Hashanah? Hayom, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So, a lot of times, we know that we have to come to God and show Him that we're doing something. Because you see, it's not just saying, I believe in God. It's just not saying, I'm doing tshuva. You have to do something. And as we said, at least the small thing you have to take on yourself, and then you can stand with everybody else, and God will see that you change something in your life. And you're also a part of the congregation of Am Yisrael, and you're helping each other. This is what's going to take us through the gate of the new year. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Yes, if you don't listen to God, and if you go on your own way, and you don't care about nobody else, then you're doomed. But if you realize and understand that this period of time is very special, and you take yourself and you put yourself as a part of the congregation, and also take on yourself a good deed, and we talked about it a lot, doesn't have to be some, not only doesn't have to be, it better not be a big thing, because what God wants really is that we put Him as a part of our life. In other words, even if it's a small thing, But if a Jew shows God, you know, in my missions through the day, a part of my mission is connecting me to God. It can be a certain mitzvah that we do every day. It can be 5 minutes of saying Tehillim. It can be blessing on anything you put in your mouth. It can be making sure that when you say Sha'akol, you mean what you say. You understand what you say. It can be any small thing you want. But it has to be something true. Not just a promise, but an action. And if we do this, we can go through Rosh Hashanah. God is giving us, let's say, tools and means to do our job in this world. The problem is we not always understand what to do with it, and sometimes we also lose our proportion, what is important and what is much less important. There is this story I always tell about this neighborhood, that the houses there were in a bad shape. So the government decided to knock down all the houses, put the people in caravans for a year or 2 years, and give each one of them budget to build their own home in a new neighborhood. So they moved them all to the caravans. Everybody got the budget. And when we looked at what's happening now, we saw a few developments. There were those who went into the caravans, saw how it looked, says, wow, this is terrible. I don't want to live like this. So they went out and bought the best furniture. And then, you know, it's a little small, so we have to be more out. So they spend the money on going out, on restaurants, holidays, clothes, and forgot about the house that they're supposed to build with the money they got. They spend it all on nonsense. There were those that were a little more clever, and they realized that they have to build a house with the money they got. But they also want to enjoy, in the time being, the life that they are living now. So they put some in the caravan and they put some in the new home. There were those who were very clever and realized that staying for 1 or 2 or 3 years in a caravan is going to go like this, and it's not worthwhile spending the money on a temporary resident. You have to put anything you've got on the new house, which is going to be your house forever. That is your house. And here in this caravan, you do only what makes you go through life surviving. The food you need, the clothes you need, the basic things. Time flies, and the day came, and buses came in, and took everybody to the new neighborhood. We're going on for 1.5 hours, getting to the new place. And everybody had to go to the plot he got. And then you saw an amazing thing. Some of the plots was nothing there. Some of them, there was a hole in the ground. Some of them had the beginning of a building. Some of them had a building, but with no windows, no doors, no air condition. But here and there, you saw those mansions with everything in. Those clever guys who understand and realize that this is what you have to put the money in. And if we take it to this world is a temporary world. And God gave us means gave us tools for what? To build our eternity home, which is in the next world. Here, we only have to survive going through while we are building our home in the next world. Now, those of us who took all the budget and put it on this temporary world, which means enjoy life, drink, sleep,
travel,
buy cars, go on holidays, buy the best clothes there is. How do you say? Live today because tomorrow you die. And of course, when they come to the next world, they say them, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. Each one has got a part there. But it depends what you've got on this part. So then they say, well, this is your part. And he's got nothing there. We have those who realize, understand that this world is a temporary world, but they still want to enjoy it. So okay, they enjoy from this world, but they also put something for the next world. So when they come to the next world, you've got this small shade or whatever they built with the mitzvahs they did in this world. And you have the tzaddikim, those who realize that this world is nothing. So they live here only basic, with the basic things they need. And keep everything doing mitzvahs and building their home in the next world. So when they come there, of course, this huge mansion waiting for them. Beautiful story. Everybody understands. But there is a punchline here. And the punchline is, imagine to yourself that you are one of those who built this beautiful mansion. And now, let's imagine to yourself the neighborhood. So you open the window in the morning. And what do you see in front of you?
A whole mess.
Those sleeping in the street, homeless, got no home, didn't build any home. And the other one is putting his dirty laundry outside because he's got no other place to put it. And nothing is working properly because nobody built anything. So would you like to live in a neighborhood like this?
No.
No, as man.
Of course.
You're not alone in this world. And especially when you realize what is the truth and what is the lie. And you understand and realize that if you put the money in the right place, then you will have this beautiful mansion. This is okay. But don't be alone. Help the other friends to do the same thing as you do. Show them the right way. This is Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You are standing, who? All of you. Everybody. The clever people, the stupid people, everybody is there. So if you're clever, what should you do? Help the one who are not clever like you. Because otherwise you will find yourself not in Kfar Shmariah or Herzliya Pituach. You will find yourself in the middle of Shchunat Oni with this beautiful mansion, but there's nothing there. Who wants to go out to a slum? And that's what's going to be. Slums with a few houses. And I think that this is the biggest lesson. For each one of us, you're talking about the non-religious, talking about Rosh Hashanah and everything. Yes, Baruch Hashem. But we should show them how important it is. We should also talk about it. Then they will realize and they will do something else. And if we understand that we are one, that when we're helping our friends, we're really helping ourselves, everything will look different. So, the big lesson here is, first of all, to understand what is important and what is less important. This world is temporary. And we're building ourselves for the next world. But, the other lesson, which is not less important, is we are not alone. We are a part of Am Yisrael and we have to help each other. Because we don't want to be alone in this neighborhood which is not built. Because we only thought about ourselves. So you can be a great tzaddik. You're not really a tzaddik if you only care about yourself. You have to care about others. And this is one of the basic things that we have to take with us, especially now when we are standing Hayom a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So we have to take on ourselves something. So I always talk about this story also. You know, this guy, he was a big businessman. And he did a lot of business. But then he lost his money and he couldn't pay off all the stuff he bought. And it was going on now for a few years that his business is not going so well. And he takes new stuff all the time, new merchandise, but he is not successful. He cannot sell it. And he has a lot of debts and he doesn't pay what he bought. So he comes to this place where he buys all his stuff. Doesn't matter what he sells, but he comes there and it can be furniture, it can be carpets, it can be a lot of things. This is a panos. And he comes to this guy and he wants to buy. The guy tells him, the owner, the Barabus, tells him, sorry, I cannot sell you anymore. You already owe me for two, three, 4 years a big debt that you didn't pay. And every time you come here and you cry and you tell, and I give you again and again, and you're not paying. And he's starting crying, and this guy is very... How do you say? He's a tzaddik. He gets emotional, and he's got a very good heart. He says, "You know what?" But when he wanted to give him, the worker came to him. "No, sorry. If you give him anything else, we are quitting. We're not going to come to work here. This is impossible. This guy comes to you every time. You give him more and more, and he doesn't pay anything." Suddenly came another guy into this place, this wholesaler place. And he sees what's happening and he's asking, I've got an idea for you. And he tells this guy, why should you take all this stuff? Take a few things, sell them, get the money, pay back, then take a little more, and then again and again, and eventually will come to straight your business and everybody's, it's a win-win situation, because it tells the owner of the other place, says, you see, if you're not going to give him anything, he's got no chance to give you back your debts, because he's got no business. If you give him a lot, you're in the same problem. This guy doesn't know how to deal with all this stuff. So give him a few things, a small amount. So here, he can try and do business, and he will pay you off, and then slowly but surely he will pay you all the debts. And both of you are winning. And you don't know how true it is. You know, some people, a business gets into debts. So the first thing they do, they come to him to take the money. And they don't realize that he hasn't got the money. So if you're going to make his business completely broken, everybody's going to lose. Clever people understand and realize, you know what? I'll help you, but I want you to start paying me back. At least something. So if you show me that you really mean business, I'm going to give you. But if not, I'm not going to give you again and again and again, and nothing comes out of it. The same way is with us. We are in debt to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And every time we come and promise, we're going to do this and this and this and this, and we don't deliver. And on the contrary, now we are even in a bigger debt, because we promised, didn't deliver. So what is the solution? Small things. Don't promise mountains. Promise a small thing to do that you can do, and then God will see that you're serious and He will give you another year, another chance, because you are reasonable, and you give an idea that you are really serious. Because somebody comes, I'm going to daven from day to night, I'm going to say Tehillim, I'm going to give donation, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Really? You know by yourself you cannot do this. God doesn't want those promises. He's not going to give you anything for this. Because you promised last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, didn't deliver. So you're better off take on yourself something small and show God that you're serious and to when to pay off with small amounts. And then you organize your life and you do a little better and a little better. That's the only way. Once talked to in a place, and this young lady says, you know, everything is very nice what you're saying, but you know, at the end of the day, I promise to God every year promises, I do it for a month or two, and then I go back to what I used to do. So what's the idea? What, to promise God and don't deliver? So this year I'm not going to promise anything. I said, even small things you cannot promise? Yes, no. Even small things I promise, I don't keep them. And is she right or wrong?
She's wrong.
Why is she wrong? Because what God wants us, listen, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Today, you want to do tshuva? You want to deliver what you promised? Today, do you? Of course, if not, you did nothing. But you know deep inside that you don't know if you're going to keep it for a long time. Doesn't matter. Because when you show God that you're doing the first step is to mean what you promise. Promise something you can deliver, as we said, because otherwise God is not going to listen. God is not going to help you. Because you're promising things that you cannot deliver. So you have to promise something small. And even though in 2 months' time you won't keep them, you're still going to be in the new year. But if you're going to do nothing, then you have a problem. So what is expected from us is to do the first step and promise something that we can deliver. And don't think about that's Yetzer Hara, what's going to happen next month or in 2 months. Now, you mean what you say and you have the power to do it. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Any other ideas, that's Yetzer Hara trying to convince you that you're worth nothing and don't promise because you cannot deliver. In other words, this lady, who was giving her an advice? The evil inclination. Yetzer Hara was giving her advice. Why? Because he knew if I go approach her with this way, she's going to promise nothing, and I won't. She's finished. And that's the wrong one. It's like, you know, I was, of course, asking people to clean a place. So they clean the place, and then a few days later, wow, it's dirty again. So what do you think? What do you think? You clean once and that's it? Finished? It's like dust. You clean the dust. But if you don't clean every day or every week, what's going to happen? Even if it's the cleanest house in the world, if you don't clean it, and if you're going to wait another month and another month, it's going to be even thicker and thicker and thicker. So what is God telling you? Clean the dust now. Man, but it's going to come back. Who cares? Now clean the dust. What's going to happen next month? That's a different problem. The whole house is dirty. I cannot clean the house. If I have to clean the house, I need to work here for 2 weeks. So I'm not cleaning. What, you stupid or something? Clean at least the entrance so you can go in the house. Yeah, but it's going to get dirty again.